Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining me for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo in a world where we ask, why don't we place the America-hating judges in gibbets? What else does one do with these money-grabbing, treasonous exhibits? Now, Kash Patel is awesome, but the true clown killer is none other than chrome-domed Mr. Stephen Miller. He is awesome. If you have been given the option to self-deport, I advise taking your sorry ass down to the nearest airport. If you came without papers, no matter how long ago, you are still illegal, so off you go. People, darlings, shall we not fix this shit for once and for all? The entire government and every major corporation and every major establishment thing needs a major overhaul, big major overhaul. Are we trusting the white hats? Are we having little nitpicky sessions with them? You know, what choice do we have? Let's take a good look at this. There is a plan. It is working. They hit the ground running. I think there may have been a little, you know, spat here or there in the beginning, but everyone seems resolved. So let's not do any of this MAGA infighting thing. I'm not saying don't question. I'm just saying, please, can you take a look at the bigger picture before you start going, well, I like what he did there, but I don't like what he did there. Nothing the president does is without intention, and it is a connection to something else. Welcome back, martini heads. I am raising my glass to you. I know you can't see me, but I am. It is lovely to be with you all once again. If you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, however, that this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. How can we sum up Metaphysical Martini? I would say we are God without religion and politics without petty partisanship. Religion being, in my opinion, a cultural hallucination at best, and as for politics, well, when the deep state funds all the major political parties, it doesn't much matter how you colour your ideology. It's all just smoke, mirrors and duplicity. That's why we have Team Trump, my darlings, to break this illusion. America is on the verge of a great awakening. A moment I have looked forward to my entire adult life. We have the opportunity to destroy for once and for all the Luciferian filth that has kept our planet and our people from the proverbial kingdom of God for so many generations. Now, unless you're addicted to legacy media, you'll know that all the nasty little people in government crying over their gangbangers and pedophiles and child rapists and drug runners that are being deported, you know, why are they glorifying these people? Why would anyone have a problem with us removing the very worst of what is destroying this country? Well, because their grubby little hands are stained with blood money. They don't care how many children are raped, abused, or drained for adrenochrome and sacrificed to Lucifer. They don't care how many young girls are kidnapped daily and sent into dark tunnels to be used as brood mares and then discarded like so much rotten, tainted meat. All they care about is their blood money. When you get to that point that you have literally sold your soul to the devil, you become a deviant that is so corrupted that you are corrupted beyond redemption. And that is why we can never give up, and we can never, ever, not for a moment, say, oh, I'm tired of this bullshit. Let me delegate this responsibility to somebody else. I need a break. No, we need to keep exposing these piles of walking excrement. We need to keep arresting them and then throw them into an oubliette, giving them ample opportunity to contemplate the error of their ways. See, the problem with all of that, my darling, once you've taken the devil's money, after having engaged in rituals where young children are penetrated, all of which is on record somewhere, by the way, there's no going back after that. The money starts flowing into your bank account, and you find a million and one ways of disassociating from the darkness that you chose to embrace. For money, for power, for status. And at that point, the demon of greed has possessed you. You have already been baptized by the demon of lust. Greed and lust, a potent and dangerous combination. Because once you taste that, you are no longer an agent of your own free will. You are Lucifer's bitch, and you're obliged to do as you are bidden. You know, unfortunately for these scumbags, the knowledge of these rituals is no longer hidden. It's all coming out now. And that's why the Dems and the Rhinos are having apoplectic seizures, screaming for Trump's removal, because one day those tapes will be seen by Joe Public. And in my opinion, the sooner that happens, the sooner it happens, the sooner we reclaim the Republic. But, you know, I'm not in charge, so I will wait to see the plan unfold. Honestly, what a glorious time to be alive, she says, sipping her drinky poo. It is a glorious time to be alive. Not because of the depravity, but to witness the end of it. To see mankind finally rise above the BS. To free the mind from the propaganda machine of continuous consumption and incessant deception. I wonder how many Americans realize the truth behind the globalist agenda. It becomes more difficult with each passing day to not see it. You know, willful ignorance, moral cowardice, and feeble-minded apathy notwithstanding. Now, a question I'm asked a lot is how far will the plan advance by the end of the year? Like I know. But I feel the White Hats are planning a series of mass arrests. We've had some arrests thus far, but nothing to write home about. But when we see hundreds of judges, mayors, and criminal politicians chained and sent to the Cuban YMCA, people will awaken, albeit in shock. When we see hundreds of drug runners arrested and ratting out the politicians who protected them and took their blood money, when Alcatraz starts filling up, that was a great move. When Alcatraz starts filling up, people will have no option but to face the truth. And to that we say, oh, for heaven's sake, bring it on. We have waited for this moment our entire lives. Well, darlings, that was a very cheery intro, wasn't it? let's move on to some lighter stuff. What do we have on today's show? Let's see. Normally I stop for a moment and comment on my drink. I just took another sip of that to see if it's a winner or a sinner. And I'm going to tell you, this is definitely the show where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits, because this is a lovely little combination, and more about that towards the end of the show. What do we have on today's show? Well, I think most of the show is going to be dedicated to quack, questions, answers, and comments. And for today's show, I have sort of rounded up some of the more quirky letters from Martini Heads. There are various different levels of quirk. Some of them are quite ramped up of late. The quirk bar has been raised, but fear not, my darlings, for I am Ani, Mad Shaman Abedissian, and an expert in all things bar related. And in addition to being a theologist, I am a master mixologist. So let's get on with the show. We'll do the quack, and then we have a couple of poems, I think, and we'll finish up with the cocktail du jour. Friends, neighbors, if you would like to share the gems of wisdom you have polished over the years with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, Arnie at arnieavedisian.com, or by snail mail to Cosmic Arnie P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. So let's go ahead and shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaking the little bowl, shaking the little bowl. Here's one. Here's one from Ramon in Modesto, California. I seem to have quite a few fans in Modesto, California. Why not? Anyway, Ramon says, "Dear Arnie, did you know that in North Carolina, it is illegal to have sex with a drunken fish?" Ramon, I did not know that, and thank you for enlightening me. I stay up most nights pondering, on such things like, hey, Arnie, if I go to North Carolina, will I be able to have sex with a drunken fish? Ramon, is it legal to have sex with a consenting fish in North Carolina? And here's the other problem. How would I know if the fish was underage? And how on earth does such a statute get on the books in the first place? Is it even true? Are you having me on, Ramon? I'm going to fact check that one. I'm going to put a little X next to that one. And if you're winding me up, I'm going to find you, Ramon. I am. Okay, moving on. Here is one from Ted. And Ted lives near Buchanan, which apparently is in Wisconsin. And Ted asks, do you like cheese? I love it. Did you know that the Uruguayan army once won a sea battle using Edam cheeses as cannonballs? And he also sent me more cheesy facts. For example, in 1987 in Ireland, archaeologists found a lump of cheese 1,400 years old, and it was still edible. I wonder, Ramon, who was brave enough to test it. And he also tells me about the fermentation process of Swiss cheeses. I have no idea why you thought I would be interested in these things, but no knowledge is wasted. He says, did you know, Arnie, that the holes in Swiss cheese are caused by gas that bubbles up during the fermentation process, making those little holes? Ted, who lives near Buchanan in Wisconsin, which I believe is actually a cheese state, thank you for that tasty trifecta of cheese lore. I didn't really know any of it, although there's something vaguely familiar about the Uruguayan army and Edam cheeses. But on the whole, thank you for enhancing my knowledge of all things fromage. I do like a bit of cheese, and I am on the carnivore now for what I think is probably the rest of my life. So, you know, that's a good thing. If anybody is interested in my favorite cheese, it's called halloumi. And it's a sheep milk cheese made on the island of Cyprus, which is the place of my birth and coincidentally, the birthplace of the goddess Aphrodite. If you go to my website and compare my picture with a picture of the goddess Aphrodite, you will see the resemblance. It is truly remarkable. Ramon. Oh, no, this is Ted. Sorry, Ted. Isn't Uruguay a landlocked country? I mean, if they're a landlocked country, what the heck were they doing? Let me pull up a map of Uruguay. Are people having me on today? What is going on? Oh, I see it. Okay. It is a landlocked country, but there is the Rio de la Plata, which is an estuary between Uruguay and Argentina. So I think perhaps this battle may have happened. I think the Uruguayans were pissed off with the Brazilians, and then the Uruguayans, I guess, ran out of cannonballs, but they used Edam cheese, which would have been rations. I mean, if only they had extra sharp cheddar on board to replace their cutlasses. My gosh, that would have been in excellent shape, wouldn't it, for a boarding party? Well, that's just interesting lore. Thank you so much for that, Ted. Moving on, and I really think we should. Here's an email from Dawson, who lives in Eugene, Oregon. Dear Ani, I agree with Bobby Kennedy when he says modern food is making us fat and sick. But another factor is often overlooked, physical fitness. A sedentary lifestyle is slow suicide. People spend 8 to 10 hours each day in front of the computer screen, then they go home, throw down a quick meal, and spend another 2-3 hours in front of the television. And Dawson in Eugene says, I am in my 70s now and fit as a fiddle. In my day, we had gymnastics in school 3 times a week, in addition to football, track, and tennis. Young people today have no core strength or common sense, for that matter, and he says we need to reintroduce gymnastics in school. A healthy mind should live in a healthy body. Dawson, I agree. I am in my mid-60s, and I remember a lot more physical fitness on the curriculum in my day. You know, it gets the endorphins going, it motivates us, and, you know, 10 hours behind a desk, you get rather fidgety. You've got to get out there and do some moving. Thank you for that, Dawson in Eugene. Eugene being a town noted for its wokeness here in Oregon. But they do have a couple of really good tap rooms and microbreweries down there. So it's not all bad. Okay, moving on. What else do we have in the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity? This is from Melanie. She doesn't say where she's from. And she says, there are so many mysteries in life, Ani. I don't know where to begin, but I'll start here. Why are moths attracted to flames? Is it a secret code, a built-in suicide mechanism for when the moth has had enough flitting to and fro? Melanie, I often wonder, actually, with some of you martini heads, if you shouldn't drink less alcohol before writing me these letters, or maybe more alcohol. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm going to reply to this in a very serious way, because this is maybe a serious question. Why are moths attracted to flames? Is it a code, a built-in suicide mechanism? I'm not sure that there are a great many species out there with built-in suicide mechanisms. I don't think they're actually attracted to the flame per se. I think the flame confuses them or disorients them. And I've come across this before in some of the psychology magazines that I read from time to time. I think it has something to do with modern lighting, you know, as in lighting on demand being a relatively new thing on planet Earth, where in days of old, you know, when nights were bald, moths and other insects, I suppose, looked for more stable sources of light to guide them from place to place and from day to night. But with the lighting on demand, we turn it off, we turn it on several times a day. Maybe the moths think they're flying off course and it confuses them. So they try to get back to the light to find another stable source. I think that's something along those lines. I remember something like that from something I read or maybe from my school days. But anyway, that may be completely rubbish, but it sounded sensible. So there we go. Thanks, Melanie. What else? What else? What else came in today? Let me have a sip of this drink. As summer comes along, you know, we have to remind ourselves, those of us who actually have a summer, that a lot of alcohol and a lot of heat don't mix. So I generally add club soda to most of my cocktails in the summer and turn them into spritzers. And that way, by the end of the day, I don't sound too much like a blithering idiot. Let's take this one. This is from June, who lives in Milton Keynes in the UK. And in the UK, whenever you mention Milton Keynes, people kind of laugh a bit. I think it's one of the first built cities, you know, like not a mega city, but it was a planned city. And there used to be a joke when I lived in England that there's many ways into Milton Keynes, but there's no way out. I don't know if people say that. Anyway, June, who lives in Milton Keynes, says, in your opinion, Ani, which is the most dangerous living being on the planet? I suppose it depends on your definition of dangerous, because there's many different types of danger and many different levels of danger. To me, if you said, what is the most dangerous living being on the planet? That would mean the one that harms and kills the most people. That's how I would take that. And for that, I'm going to go with the mosquito because they carry malaria, which I have fallen prey to, and dengue fever, which I haven't, thank God, and encephalitis. And that's just for starters. Mosquitoes are the most dangerous because over the years, they've probably killed millions, if not billions, of people. Funny enough, with the mosquitoes, if I remember from biology class back in school, it's the females who have the killing bite. The males just go around apparently biting vegetables and drinking beers with other male mosquitoes. I think I'm going to have to go with the mosquito for that one for the sheer volume of mass murder. Second only to Dr. Fauci at this moment, I think. I wonder if he'll be the first one into Alcatraz. That would make me so happy. Moving on. This is from Elsa, and she lives in Denver, Colorado. And she says, Arnie, do you have many regrets in life? Elsa, I'm sure I have. There are many things I wish I had done differently. There are many things I left unsaid, which I wish I had said. I have no regrets on anything I did say, but some of them I wish I had phrased perhaps in a more appropriate fashion. But then again, darlings, hindsight, 2020, isn't it? Had I known better, I would have done better. But I didn't, so I didn't. If I had to pick one thing, it would have been to take better care of my mental and physical health over the years. But then again, when one is thrust into an uncommon way of life from one's early years, whether it's a soul contract or not, which it is, and I take full responsibility for, one is at the mercy, one's human child is at the mercy of one's elders, and that's not always a good thing. But hey, the horrors persisted, but apparently so did I. So I don't know, Elsa, I think I can honestly say that today, May 7th, 2025, I am at peace with my past and looking forward to my future. And that is a much healthier place to find myself in than I possibly thought possible. My wounds no longer bleed. The scars are almost too faint to see. And my mind is firmly in the present moment. And that, as we all know, is where the power is. So, when things come up from time to time and trigger me, I address it and I take care of it. I don't want to have anything in my backpack at the end of the night. Have I made mistakes? Oh my God, a plenty. Do I have regrets? Of course I do, but I don't sit and regret them. I've just said made a point to learn from them. I don't carry the past into the present because it's done. And if I keep getting triggered by it, then I'm saying that it's still happening, which it's not. And that's just immature. All right. Here is a postcard that I received from Portland, Maine, from somebody called Tiggy. And Tiggy says, Ani, can humans have sex with ghosts? This is an actual postcard from a person called Tiggy in Portland, Maine, who says, can humans have sex with ghosts? Let's hope not, T. First of all, let's sort out ghosts from spirits. Ghosts are humans or animals who have lost their mortal bodies but have not moved on to the place we called heaven. Spirits are humans or animals who have lost their mortal bodies and have moved on to the place we call heaven. The difference is this: a ghost is stuck on the physical realm and is still in its human personality. A spirit has been through the end of life review process in heaven and is now in the awareness of its cumulative soul identity. Okay, let's get on to the sex part. What would be the point of having sex with a ghost? It won't result in ghost babies, and well, that's a relief. Sex, as in, bonking, penetrative male, female, the Twinkie and the donut, traditional sex, is not something that comes up, in my work with ghosts, and there would be no point to it, assuming the ghost had enough control of its light body to engage in such an act. Now, putting that sort of bonking sex aside, there are many reports of spirits sharing their essence with humans, and that is more an act of intimate love than bonking variety sex. So to share love rays emanating from the spirit to the human, that does happen. And it does feel intimate and very special, but it's not sex. If you read some of the love poems that mystics and priests, whatever, have written to God, you know, St. John of the Cross is just one example. It almost, you could say, is he trying to have sex with God? Because this sounds an awful lot like sex. It's not. It's a different type of intimacy. Into me see. It's the sharing of your smallness with the allness. You know, physical sex on a physical realm is designed for only one reason. That's to allow another manifestation of source to have an experience on the physical realm. In other words, its original and primary purpose is to make babies. Now, over the years, you know, mankind decided we could use sex to share affection and intimacy without having to make babies. And we're all okay with that, of course, you know, as long as it's consensual and without abuse. I'm going to make a statement here, darlings. I advise against having sex with ghosts, even if you figure out a way to do it. For starters, this realm is for meat bodies. If you're dead, but you are still stuck on the physical realm, you need help moving on, or you will forever be stuck in your earth personality, and that is not a good thing. You need to move to heaven and review your past incarnation and step into your cumulative knowing. So I'm going with a firm no on this one. Please do not have sex with ghosts. But understand that there is a certain type of love ray sharing that feels sexual, but it's not. It's just pure intimacy, spirit to spirit. All right. Well, I think I dealt with that quite well. I'll have a little sip of this drinky poo. That is not bad, actually. Not bad at all. And now we have a letter from Mr. Pelagos, who lives in Azeroth. Yes, I'll go out on a limb and say this is probably from one of my fellow World of Warcraft gamers. And Pelagos says, bread has been the staff of life for eons. So why are so many people allergic to it? What happened and how can we reverse it? I love bread, but my stomach goes into spasms whenever I eat it. I have many such letters like this, Mr. Pelagos. And I feel your pain, because before I went total carnivore, a decision I will never regret, by the way, I was honestly and truly a breadaholic. I could live on bread, butter, cheese, and wine. I think it's because they messed with the grain, and modern grain, wheat in particular, has 3 times or more gluten than the older varieties, and that much gluten is literally glue in the system and therefore not digestible. And there is one other factor, and people who make their own bread know this, it's fermentation. America doesn't ferment its dough. Other countries do. And it's common to hear people, you know, enjoying baguettes in France, for example, with no ill effects, because they don't use GMO and they don't just throw it in there. They allow the dough to ferment before they bake it. Here's my advice, Pelagos. If you want to enjoy bread once more, which is your birthright, my son, I suggest making your own. Purchase flour from a heritage grain supplier and watch some YouTube videos on how to prepare and ferment the dough and start enjoying toast and marmalade once again. If you don't want to bake your own bread, which is great fun, by the way, there are a few bakeries now that will ship frozen, non-GMO fermented bread to your home. It's not cheap. But if time is of the essence, it's available. I think it was 1921 that Wonder Bread came up with a recipe to make fluffy sliced bread, and everyone thought this was wonderful stuff. Unfortunately, the process they used also stripped away all the nutritional benefit. And I believe it was in the 1940s, America had a massive breakout of something called pellagra. It's a vitamin deficiency disease. And it was especially bad in the southern states, where I suppose they just ate an awful lot of fluffy Wonder Bread. And then the government of the time told the bakers to add back the nutrients. And apparently that ended the great pellagra effect of 1940. But again, those vitamins, however, I get so confused. I'm from England, but I'm American now. My vowels are all over the place. But those vitamins, they were synthetic. And I'm going to say they were probably sprayed on as an afterthought. And while pellagra did finally disappear, it was less than a perfect solution, because Wonder Bread actually isn't bread, okay? It's a fluffy bread-like product. Shall we reclaim the staff of life? Let's join the Make American Bread Great Again movement. Magda, that movement, let's do it. Go to your search engine and type in non-GMO bread delivery USA and go from there. But I have to say, nothing beats making fresh bread at home and eating it straight out of the oven with salted butter. Oh, I do miss those days. Moving on, darlings, I've just put all the quirkiest stuff that I can find all together in just one thing here. So I'm just going to keep going until this basket of boo-boo is emptied. Okay, here we go. This is from Omit Personal Details. It's okay. I'm not going to call you a coward just because you don't want to identify yourself. Ha ha. Omit says, Arnie, given your extensive research, something you admit to, why do you dismiss the Bible while simultaneously quoting from it? Also, you seem to have a problem with religion in general and with Islam in particular. Would you address the latter, please? Also, does your hatred towards religion extend to Israel and Jews? Well, it seems, Omit, you've really made up your mind about who I am and what I think and how I operate. Let me be charming, gracious, polite, and not drink anymore until I answer this question. It is precisely because of my extensive research that I dismiss it. I know what it is. My personal relationship, my direct connection with Source, the Allness, gives me all the wisdom I need to live a functional life. I don't need to cherry-pick a bunch of poorly translated, heavily edited for propaganda papers which someone has deemed sacred to serve their own purpose. Why do I quote from it? Well, it's common sense, darling, isn't it? Because it is a reference for the majority of my clients. I cannot be of service to them if I have not studied their source materials. And you asked about Islam. Yes, yes. Okay, you know what? Whatever. I'll just tell you how I feel. I believe all religions are cultural hallucinations. Do I have a problem with Islam? If I do, more than any other religion, it would be because of this. Islam states that it is the last and the one true religion, and that its goal is to dominate the world with its what I perceive, know, to be a Luciferian agenda of slash, burn, blow up, disrespect, rape, torture, impose Sharia law, a Luciferian construct which has no place, in my opinion, in any civilized society. So anyone has a problem with that, anybody has a problem with this little old harmless lady's opinion, go ahead and fatwa me, and I'll laugh in your face as I consume a giant bacon sandwich. Folks, this applies to all religions. Aren't you sick and tired of these wannabe medieval martyrs dictating their needs and unhealthy desires on mankind? You know, with regard to Islam, if you want Sharia law, go effing live in a country that respects it. The only thing radical Islam will get you in the days to come from the West is a bloodbath, a richly deserved bloodbath. The agenda to bring you all to the West and have you replace white people and Christians, and you were promised that it was going to go through. Darlings, self-deport whatever country you're on, if that's what you think is going to happen, because it will not go well for you. You have no idea the backlash that is coming your way. And if my words offend you, well, I'm sorry, you're such a feeble-minded, fragile piece of nothingness. Islam, as will all religions, collapse under the weight of its own dysfunction. And the rest of us will give new meaning to being one with God and all that is. So those of you who feel this way, go feel free to find a nice strip of sand somewhere where you can rape 10-year-olds of both sexes and flog each other for minor infractions and grow long beards to suppress your homosexual inclinations and worship the black rock, which every shaman worth his or her salt knows is an instrument of darkness, commonly known as black goo. I have zero tolerance for any of the self-righteous, and this applies to all religions. Yes, there's a lot of raping and stuff that goes on in the Catholic thing, but, you know, Christians aren't at this moment mobilizing to dominate the world and kill anybody who doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, you know, let's put this into perspective. I am tired of all of you holier-than-thou types of this world. You can all go fish, but when you do, please remember that in North Carolina, it is illegal to have sex with an inebriated fish. There comes a point in a woman's life where she just has to say, I am sick and tired of all you sanctimonious religious types. God does not need to be worshipped. God is not a man. God has no needs. God has no ego programming. God does not desire worship. God desires representation. Not through some ecclesiastical body of pedophiles and women haters. You know, taking advice from those people has resulted in a world filled with dysfunction, dysphoria, you know, and a perverted, distorted sense of sacrifice and salvation. It's time to move on into the light, my darlings, and leave behind men and women in silly dresses and stupid hats, chanting silly chants. And if I'm pushed, I may even tell you how I really feel about it without the polite sugarcoating, because I have understood this one thing. I did not come down to be popular. I came down to do a job and hopefully have a bit of fun from time to time. And you also, where is your letter here? Oh, yeah. You also asked me about Israel and Jews. I am against the Zionists because I know their agenda to be an evil one. But this does not include your common or garden variety Jewish person. I refer to the Israeli faction of world controllers who are evil and have done much evil on this realm. And they too will be purified in the great cleansing flame making its way to a town near you. Wait until the truth about World War II and the concentration camps becomes mainstream. Don't forget, the Argentinian Chappie has released all the Hitler papers. Well, you know, in the words of, I can't remember who it was it Mark Gates? I could be wrong, but in someone's words, buckle up and prepare for income, prepare for impact. That's what he said. Buckle up, prepare for impact. It's going to be a very bumpy ride. And there will be many concussions along the way. No one's going to get away with anything going forward because the great revelation is the great illumination. And when we are illuminated with enough Christ's light, no one can hide from anything. Moving on, let's take one more quirky question from the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. This is from Ellie, who currently lives in Bristol, but is originally from Brighton. She says, Ani, I know royals are not ordained by God and are actually thug families, but I always thought Queen Elizabeth II was different. Any thoughts on this? Do I have thoughts on this? I have thoughts on this. Let me have a drink and I'll share my thoughts. Lovely. Actually, I think that's a good question with which to end today's quack segment. Here's my take on it, Ellie. While I don't deny she is part of the group we call the Thuggerati, she actually softened over the years, and I do have it on very good authority she did not agree with the COVID bioweapon depopulation agenda. She did not agree with any type of depopulation agenda, and I believe if she was still around, Keir Starmer and his gang of goons would be slumming it in an oubliette somewhere, out of sight and out of mind. And that's where that little piece of excrement belongs, along with King Kong Charles and his Godzilla. There is much speculation around the Queen's official death. The Queen, Liz Point 20, many believe she was murdered 4 years before her official death date. I will reserve judgment on that, but my years in service to forces natural and supernatural have taught me one thing. The truth is always, not sometimes, always stranger than fiction. And that concludes Quack for today's show. Quack, by the way, questions, answers, comments, that's the reason we started the show, to see what irked and what smirked the minds of we the people. So keep those letters and those emails and those postcards coming in, and I will try to keep coming up with sensible answers for you. And now, my darlings, it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Now, boys and girls, men and women, and extraterrestrials of unknown gender, for those who do not know, I have a Substack. It's called Arnie Avedisian's Substack, and you can access it directly from my website, which is arnieavedisian.com, or from Substack itself. I mainly journal current events in poetry form, and I also write poems just because I've had a drink for fun. And I do engage in the occasional short essay. And while I'm no Charles Dickens, I do make an effort. Subscriptions are free. So, it's just free to read my stuff. But, thank you to all those lovely souls who do honor me with the occasional paid subscription and the occasional tip in the old digital jar. Huzzah to you. I want to share two short poems with you today. They are short, like me, as are all my poems and essays, so don't panic, I know we all have short attention spans these days. The first one is a little ditty I wrote about Stephen Miller, a chap I admire for his brevity and dedication to duty. I don't really write poems in praise of people because I don't really like anybody for the most part. But once in a while, somebody comes along and makes a difference. And this man is an awesome patriot. He was very hard at work with the legalese in the 4 years of the lost election. And he has hit the ground running for Team Trump, which really should be called Team America, you know? So here is my ode to Stephen Miller. And here we go. Dear Stephen Miller, Esquire, your command and delivery of the English language is liquid light. It is pure balefire. You are the gold in Trump's club sandwich. Watching you destroy propaganda peddlers, I confess I have become addicted to the dismantling of the morons and the meddlers whose wounds are now all self-inflicted. Your shiny dome is a glorious beacon of common sense, common good, and authenticity. If MAGA was a church, you would be the archdeacon of sanity and simplicity, devoid of duplicity. In days of old, good knights were bold, but those heroes fell under the radar. You broke the mold as you castrated the trolls and then smiled like a cool commissar. Yours is the voice of pure reason in a world filled with cowards, crap, and fibbers. In such a world, you not only rock, you are also the paper and scissors. That is my little tribute to Stephen Miller, Esquire, a man who I think has more power in his little finger than Gandalf the White had in his entire being. Is he going to be head of security? Where are they going to put him? I don't know. But wherever this man goes, he kicks ass, and I love to watch him. And my second little poem today is, I haven't titled it yet, but it's about Doge, or FAFO department, as they like to call it, fiscal oversight, and what they found. So here we go. This is all about Elon and Doge. Me, 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 me. Huh. I think by now it is clear why the globalists tremble in fear. Thanks to Elon and his team, we found the coffee and we found the cream. A congressman makes about 200 grand. That's decent money to have on hand. So, how did they become multimillionaires? Was it insider trading on stocks and on shares? We always suspected something more sinister. We long suspected they were looters and pillagers, and we were right, but now there's more. Fake NGOs, a naughty backdoor. No wonder they scream and hiss and spit. We found and are draining their money pit. The money in there belongs to you and me. And we want it back, don't you agree? To steal from your own and pretend you did not creates within one a deep, fetid rot. If you don't want to visit Gitmo's YMCA, I strongly suggest you confess right away. There you have it, my darlings. If you enjoy my poetry, some of it's really very, very silly, and some of it's just, oh! Horribly serious. Do go to Substack and subscribe. It's free. Or just go to my website, arniabedissian.com, and go to the Arnie's Substack page, and you will get the latest and the greatest right away. I think I want to become the founder member of Make America Rhyme Again, MARA. We should all be rhyming and singing, and I want America to be this wonderful musical that my fantasies when I was a young girl of what America was and wasn't, the whole American dream. It's coming back, without the romantic and the idealism and the silly costumes and all that, but don't you feel it, friends? Don't you feel it? It's ramping up, it's ramping up. And meanwhile, people are going, where are the Epstein files? And you should actually continue to say, where are the Epstein files? Where are these files? We want more arrests. Don't stop saying that, but say it knowing that they're coming. Say it to keep it in the public ear, in the public view, in the public eye, in the public mind. It's coming, believe me, because hey, one thing we do know is that nothing can stop what's coming. A very quick shameless commerce department from me. I think for most of May, I am offering 15% off home and property clearings. So go to my website, arniabedissian.com, go to home and property clearings and take a look at that, and you can take 15% off the price for May. But my darlings, I think that's probably it for today's show. I have finished my drink, and that always means the end of the show. I do hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I love it. I always have a blast. Today's date for the recording is May 7th, 2025, and the show was recorded in Northern Oregon, USA. Today's real life cocktail was a lovely summer concoction called a classic gin gimlet, and here's how you make it. Get yourself 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. If you don't want to make your own, excuse me, you can actually buy it in the store. It's just sugar water. You want 1/2 ounce of freshly squeezed, muy importante, freshly squeezed lime juice, and then 2.5 ounces of gin. Oh my God, Annie, that's a healthy slug, isn't it just? But you're only going to have one drink. I use London Dry from, just any good London Dry gin. And you're going to want some sort of dressing, a lime wheel, lovely and pretty. So what you do is you combine the simple syrup, the lime juice, and the gin together, with a bunch of ice, and shaky, shaky, shaky really hard until it's thoroughly mixed and chilled. Then strain it into a chilled martini glass, garnish it with a lime wheel, and really enjoy sipping it. And if you want to make this into a long drink, Just put it in a tall glass with some ice and top it up with some club soda or seltzer water. The difference being seltzer water is just fizzy water and club soda has minerals added to it for a little bit of extra flavor. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I am Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was a Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. And a big thank you to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Until we meet again in approximately 2 weeks or so, keep pushing for the arrests of politicians and others who are part of the paedophile Luciferian cult of world domination. Do not let up, do not surrender, and never give up, because this is our chance to reclaim our planet from the darkness and banish it forever. And the only way to do that, my darlings, is to let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Alphadesian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.